Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. It's Groundhog Day every day for the Europeans. They say they want peace in Ukraine, but do everything in their power to continue the war and actively prepare for a future conflict against Russia. The Europeans don't want peace. They want a forever war. Crosstalk in Ukraine and forever war, I'm joined by my guest, Alex Reportify in China. He is a geopolitical analyst. In Monaco, we have Alex Krainer. He is an author and geopolitical analyst. And in Germany, we cross to Rainer Rupp. He is a former East German intelligence officer. All right, gentlemen, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Let me go to Alex in Monaco first. I'm titling this program Groundhog Days because I think I keep doing the same program over and over again because the Europeans keep saying, no, we're not saying that, we're saying this, but no, you're saying that. Okay? I mean, this is an assault on our intelligence, okay? No, NATO membership's off the table, but we're going to have NATO troops in Ukraine. To have elections, we have to have a ceasefire, but they all know that the Russians aren't going to agree under any circumstances to a ceasefire. So what are they doing? I mean, they sound like a group of lunatics. Alex in Monaco.
Well, they sound like a group of lunatics, but, you know, it's always the same theme. They want the war to continue. And what happened with the election of Donald Trump is that the mask has finally slipped off their face, because so far, you know, the pretense was that we are nice and blameless. We are merely loyal allies to the, you know, boorish Americans who drag us into all these imperial misadventure against our better judgment. Now it's evident that the war drive is coming from Europe. And I think principally it's coming from the City of London and their satellites and their generals and majors and captains in the political, diplomatic and military spheres. And now that they've lost their main military enforcement arm, they've all gotten quite hysterical, and I think they don't know how to position themselves, so they come across as insane. They're not. They know what they're doing, but they also know that it has no support among the people.
Yeah, and it's got Alex in China here. I mean, they can have, how many times are these people going to meet? Okay, they meet every other day. It's like a dating club, okay? Sleepovers, that's what it looks like to me. Because, you know, progress is being made. What progress? I mean, if you're in negotiations, you have to have the other side in the negotiation to make progress. You're making progress among yourselves? What does that even mean, Alex?
Well, you know, as one of our other panelists is here in Monaco, I lived in Monaco for almost 20 years, and I'm hearing from my friends there are a lot of Ukrainian plates driving around the principality. And that is money coming right from the EU. This isn't just one, we'll call it Groundhog Day. This is one hell of a hangover. And they continue to, you know, spill money into buckets into the streets. Has anybody seen Kiev lately? How does that city even operate compared to even have the lights on, let alone fancy cars driving down the streets, restaurants full, and business as usual in the streets of Kiev? But as we have a saying always, the guilty are always screaming the loudest. And that is exactly what this situation is right now. The Europeans are screaming, and they need to convince their electoral people or their citizens here in upcoming elections before they get the Zelensky curse, which could potentially happen sooner rather than later. And we'll see more of these people that run these countries be replaced by new leadership very soon.
Rainer, in Germany, can you explain the logic of the following? Because I have, you know, I'm just a television talk show host, so I'm not really the smartest guy in the room. So Zelensky and his crowd are credibly accused of stealing massive amounts of money. The number bandied about right now is 100 million. I think it's far, far more than that, okay? And so you know, the Europeans are aghast. Oh, my goodness, there's corruption in Ukraine. But the same Europeans want to steal Russian central bank assets. I mean, so who's the virtuous character in all of this here? And illegally, first of all, they're frozen and they want to steal them permanently now. So, I mean, what kind of moral caliber are we dealing with? You want to steal from someone and give it to a thief? Rainer.
Well, you should have listened here to our media concerning the corruption. I mean, there is real progress in Ukraine because, oh, they are doing something against corruption now. Look, that is great. They are, you see, this is wonderful. And, well, we have to put some more money in there. And our Minister of Finance not having any money for other things, such as decrepit schools with leaking roofs or toilets broken, etc., etc. No money for any of other these urgent social things, was just signing another check of 9 billion euros from Germany alone to Ukraine because they are successfully fighting against corruption. That's just how the media and state-run and private media, they're all the same.
Well, so, Rainer, let me get this straight. So the Ukrainians are virtuous because they're open about their corruption? Is that...
Absolutely, absolutely. And they're doing something about it, even at the highest level. Look at the ministers. You see, they're firing their ministers. And many Germans say, oh, I love you. We could do that too. But...
Alex and Monica, it seems to me this is really going way beyond Ukraine. Ukraine is lost. It's quite obvious. The Europeans actually know that. But they're using Ukraine as a fulcrum, as it were, for the future war that they want to wage against Russia. They need this Ukraine story to terrify the electorate in Europe. Alex and Monica.
Yes, correct. I think that to understand the nature of this conflict, we have to go back to May 2021, when George Soros gave his annual address to the World Economic Forum in Davos. And what he explained is quite true, that this is the conflict between two systems of governance. What he said beyond that was all self-serving, but this is very true. And so from that point of view, I think that the conflict in Ukraine is just a different front of the same conflict that we see elsewhere, particularly in the Middle East. And then all these crisis flashpoints that we have from the Balkans all the way to Eastern Asia is basically the Western Empire's war of survival against everybody who's opposed to them, including the domestic audience, domestic populations of the Western nations, you know, the British, the Americans, the French, and so forth. Because now they're telling us, well, you're going to have to sacrifice your children because it's come to that.
Yeah, but this is let me go to Alex in China. But this is all, they're making a choice. They're not being forced to do this. This is a choice. And it's ideologically driven. Soros may be onto something. I mean, the West abhors the fact that a country like Russia, conservative, not liberal, very traditional, this is something they can't, because that is the past. They believe that they are the future. And they deny the survivability and even popularity of a system that is very different from their own. In China, Alex.
Yes, thank you very much. Well, you know, I want to add to this. We continue to see these governments falter, and they keep stumbling over and over and over. But I think we're missing a very, very important point here, is the involvement of NATO. And in the last 4 years, we've seen two new members come on board. We've seen Finland and we've seen Sweden come on board. Now, no one's really asked this question. Why? And it's very clear is that NATO had to move out a lot of its equipment, a lot of its artillery, a lot of its tanks, a lot of its airplanes, everything that you can imagine. They found the ultimate washing machine, and that's the Ukraine. So now we've seen all this artillery sent down there, which has drained the shelves of every country. Germany, France, England, you name it. The shelves are bare at a time where, you know, Germany is going through, you know, an economic downturn in biblical proportions. But here's the missing link here, is what you've seen when Donald Trump came into power. He said, wait a minute, we'll keep this game going. But what we'll do is we'll sell to you so that you can buy from us and you can continue the game. But you're going to need all shiny, brand new equipment from Raytheon or McDonnell Douglas. And here it is. The washing machine has worked fine. Billions upon billions of dollars of NATO gear basically has left the used car parking lots in these countries, headed to Ukraine. And now they're just putting their hands together, ready to get the new artillery any day. It's incredible.
Well, you know, Alex, to stay with you, I mean, who would have thought Hunter Biden was a visionary in all of this? Okay. You know, because, yeah, he was. I mean, he was the spearhead. He was a spear. I mean, a visionary when it comes to corruption. Okay.
And
you know, I have to wonder, because one day we're going to all want an autopsy. What happened here? How much of that money went back to the West? Okay. Cleaned, like you said, okay, because Hunter Biden was the template for how to do it, and everyone followed suit. And I really appreciate what you had to say about NATO expansion, because that expanded the grift, okay, the grift. And if NATO doesn't expand, it collapses, and they know that intuitively. All right, gentlemen, I'm going to interrupt myself. We're going to go to a short break, and after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on Ukraine and forever war. Stay with RT.
For 20 years, we've broken all the rules you've invented.
You're watching RT.
Antum tushahiduna kanat RT.
Están viendo RT.
Vous regardez RT.
Here's the today.
You claimed we were brainwashing your citizens. You accused us of running troll factories. You screamed that we buy off bloggers and celebrities. Made Trump great, and then made him great again.
Russia today is capable of conducting information war.
We know that RT possesses cyber capabilities.
To ban Russia today because of the nature of propaganda.
Get in their bullhorn.
Are we a propaganda bullhorn? Well, it's time to say sorry. Sorry, not everyone has heard us yet. We're always working on making our bullhorn louder.
Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. To remind you, we're discussing Ukraine and forever war. Okay, let's go back to our guest in Germany. Rainer, tell me what's going on with your chancellor, Friedrich Merz, because he's established himself. I don't know if this was his intention, but he's the worst chancellor since Adolf Hitler. That's an amazing achievement in such a short amount of time, okay? And he has described Vladimir Putin, the Russian president, as being like Hitler here. Why is he bringing up this imagery here, and what is his place in all of this? German rearmament, who really wants that? I think you took a poll among Europeans. They probably wouldn't like that idea. What is his gambit in all of this? Rainer.
Well, first things first, his comparison of Putin with Hitler. He didn't do that directly. I mean, the only one so far I remember who compared Hitler, compared Putin with Hitler, was Hillary Clinton when she was running against Trump. She called Putin the new Hitler. What happened at the Munich conference last past weekend, well, there we are, I don't know the exact date anymore by heart, it was that he made an indirect comparison between Hitler and Putin.
Well, it seemed pretty direct to me, but keep going. Okay.
Through an historical analogy, referring to the so-called Sudetenland, which was in Chechnya, area with a strong German minority, which he wanted to take into the Reich. And there was a so-called Munich Agreement in which the Brits tried, Chamberlain tried to avoid a war with Germany, and they gave in to Hitler. And Merz made exactly this comparison with Putin and Ukraine.
Well, it's not clear. Yeah, but it's not a very
clear that he compared Putin with Hitler without actually saying so.
Yeah, yeah, but Merz,
I disagree.
Hey, hang on. The German Chancellor should learn a little bit of history, since his paternal grandfather was a Nazi official. Okay,
absolutely.
He should know this history. The Sudetenland was never part of Germany, but the Donbass was part of Russia at one point, and so. Kaya Kallas, I mean, the intellectual genius of European diplomacy,
yes.
She doesn't know the basics of history whatsoever. And that's very dangerous, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, I don't want to waste time on these worthless personalities here. I want to go to back to Alex in Monaco.
Let me add something here about just about Merz and history. He actually warned the German population a few weeks ago of the fact that Russia might be preparing to invade Germany again.
Okay. All right. All right.
Again.
All right. All right. Everybody. Yeah. Everybody. Let's get it straight
now,
here. So after hang on here. You know, after what, almost 4 years, they're still fighting in the Donbass. But next weekend they're going to be in Paris. Come on. Let's get serious here. All right. I want to move the conversation on. Alex in Monaco. What is this nonsense? And I'm quoting here, Article 5. Like, you don't have article. You have Article 5. Or you don't have Article 5, but you can't have Article 5 like. You cannot be a little bit pregnant here. Again, this is just the Game of Thrones. It's the game of narratives here. They're not fooling anyone by it. Alex.
Well, I think they don't care the form. They care to bring the United States, put them on the hook to come back into the war. We just saw that the United States Congress voted in the NDAA, with which, you know, they took advantage of it to make it impossible for Trump to withdraw U.S. troops from Europe. So we see that the deep state structures in the United States are also maneuvering to keep the United States in that game. And the Europeans are also trying to draft a peace treaty in a way that would keep the United States in the game and on the hook for some future renewal of the war, because they know that they can't do it themselves. And they realize that they can't do it while Donald Trump is in the White House, but they are putting pieces in place for a new administration in the future that hopefully is going to take up where Joe Biden's administration left off.
Yeah, but Alex, what about Ukraine in the meantime?
Oh, well, you know, as long as they can keep sacrificing Ukrainians and keep them in the fight, you know, as the British project alchemy defined, keep them in the fight at all costs. This is the idea, because, you know, once the war ends, it's harder to restart it than to keep it going. And so they just need the Ukrainians to keep sacrificing their people until we can somehow maneuver European nations or the United States, European nations with or without the United States, to take up the fight. And then eventually, you know, as it happened in World War I and World War II, the Americans are always reluctant to come and join a European war. But, you know, last two times they managed. So they count on being able to do that again in the future.
Yeah, so Alex, we'll go back to you in China. So the game plan is this. Wait out Trump or look for a pretext, false flag, to bestir the Americans to be interested again in the fate of the regime in Kyiv. I wouldn't put a lot of money down on that one, but I guess that's their gamble. Alex.
Well, I mean, can Ukraine really withstand more years of this? And I think the question answers itself. You know, Ukraine is a demographic and economic shell. There's nothing there. It's kept on life support solely by the transfusion of Western cash and weapons. That gets cut off, they get cut off. You know, the deep strike program, the drone attacks are mere, you know, public relation victories for the regime in Kyiv. You know, they don't change the fact that the front line has already collapsed, even though Zelensky takes selfies in front of cities that eventually have already been taken over. And of course, the Ukraine feel that they still own a town, even if there's one guy on a radio in a basement. You know, Ukraine cannot withstand more months, let alone years, without direct NATO intervention. And this is where it gets very serious, which is exactly what the European stonewallers seem to be counting on. And it's getting very interesting. And I think desperation has pretty much come into this. But, you know, if I have time at the end of the program, I really want to address the comments from Mertz, if I could, later, if you have time.
No,
for me.
Do it right now. Go ahead. Go ahead. Do it right now.
I mean, and with all due respect to our other panels here, I mean, I can understand what the media writes. And it's very clear here. You know, he did compare Vladimir Putin to Hitler. You know, by framing the conflict as an existential battle against the Fourth Reich, I mean, Merck's offense, you know, effectively, he has burned the bridge to any negotiated settlement.
Okay.
I mean, you're not going to call a leader.
I'm sorry. You're absolutely right. And that's what I wanted to, that was going to be my next question here. I'll go to Rainer about that. And that's a very good point.
Sorry.
And I'm glad you brought it up. Rainer, I mean, you do burn bridges when you make those kind of historical parallels. And I find it just very, very unfortunate and even dangerous that a German chancellor would directly or indirectly make that claim, because it looks like the European elites and Merz is really standing out. Did anybody notice in the last couple of days the New York Times had puff pieces about him? I mean, he's turning into a war leader. I have to keep reminding our viewers that Europe, the European Union or NATO, whatever, are they at war with Russia, okay? And the more the behavior that we see from all these organizations is that they want a war because Article 5, they want to get the Americans in, just as it was explained on this program. If you prepare for war like this, you'll probably get one. Rainer.
Yeah, well, you said it yourself. Why do they do that? Why does Merz speak like that? Well, because he doesn't want negotiations. He doesn't want the continuation of war. And we can see two possibilities how the war actually can continue. There's now talk within the EU and much, much stronger talk within Germany to send home the 1.9 million fighting age Ukrainians who are refugees here in many of them here in Germany, but also in the other countries to provide cannon fodder. And the stolen billions of the Russian Central Bank are supposed to provide the guns for the new cannon fodder. They want to continue this war because in the hope that somehow, I mean, if you listen to our so-called armchair experts in public, we have a lot of public television and radio, is still very strongly observed with the tens of millions of readers and listeners. If you hear our armchair generals, Ukraine is still having a chance to win, and Russia is down on its knees. Yeah, it is scraping the bottom of the barrel. You wouldn't believe it. I mean, I can. It is. You think you are in the wrong movie there. And if you know a little bit about it. Now, so I suppose they believe they're advisors, and they don't hear anything else if they talk and meet with Starmer, meets with Schwartz, and with Macron, and et cetera.
They believe their own lies. And we know that. That's why RT is banned in the EU, okay? Because they don't want to hear the other side or a different side here. And that is much... And that is that we're all at risk when you have a censorious regime like that. I'd like to end by saying, always remember, Russia is never as strong or weak as you think. And that is the paradox, okay? And the Europeans are learning about it the hard way. That's all the time we have. Fascinating discussion, gentlemen. I want to thank my guests in Monaco, Germany, and in China. And of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, Crosstalk Rules.